Good morning, everyone. We're in the Gospel of Mark this morning. We have a wonderful and simple account this morning that was famous in the early church. And we'll begin reading in Mark chapter 10. And read down through verse 52. We'll begin in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10 and read down through verse 52. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and called him. And they called the blind man, saying, Take heart, rise, he is calling you. And throwing off his mantle, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Master, or Rabbi, let me receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go on your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, that is Jesus, on the way. Let's pray, if you wouldn't mind. Father, we just ask, Father, that in this simple passage, Father, you would speak to us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. If you'll remember, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is told the disciples that that's where he's going, and they're suitably frightened because they know that Jesus has enemies in Jerusalem and they want to kill him. They've been planning to kill him and they're worried about it. And at one point, even old Thomas says, well, let's go up with him, might as well die with him. He had no idea. But Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and just to the north and slightly east of Jerusalem, there's a little town called Jericho, and you all know the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. Famous city in Israel's history, and it's just slightly to the north, to the north and slightly to the east of Jerusalem. And it says that he passed along as he came in Jerusalem. It just skips over what he did in Jericho, but it picks it up as he was coming out. Or how long he stayed there, we don't even know. But in this place that there were considerable crowds. Now this was common at this point, but nevertheless it was of note to the gospel writer Mark. People always were about Jesus, it seemed like. He could not get away from them. But at this point, the crowd, the roads were full, and the crowds were large. Now, I hate to get a spiritual application from television. So I'm very sorry. I give you my apologies. But my wife and I have faithfully seen the little movie, The Crown. Anybody do that? Okay. I really liked the part when Billy Graham was in London and the Queen wanted to speak to him. Did you remember that? Anybody? Have you gotten there? Have I ruined it for you? I have ruined it for you, Mark. I'm so sorry. Anyway, but everywhere Billy Graham went, it just seemed like there was a God was doing something. And so you could just multiply that by a hundredfold. And here in a society is you know, steeped in history, is more steeped in history than England. Jesus is causing a ruckus wherever he goes. This guy from Nazareth, and I want to stress that, this is not a good thing. When he says he's from Nazareth, can any good thing come from Nazareth? The people of Israel were not expecting a good thing to come out of Nazareth. Just like I think Billy Graham was from North Carolina or one of the Carolinas. North Carolina. Can any good thing come out of North Carolina? Well, we would say so because we're good Southerners. But the glory of it is God does what he does. And he'll often let as much stigma fall upon it as is necessary to sift out the wheat and the chaff. You know, to follow Jesus, you're going to have to follow someone from Nazareth. And I mean that with all my heart. There'll be something to following Jesus that there'll be a stigma on it and people won't like. And that stigma will be something that, we Southerners like North Carolina. But that country boy that went to see the Queen was from North Carolina and he talked like it. And so here is Jesus from Nazareth, and everywhere he goes, crowds are stirred up. And even though there's this stigma and this Jesus of Nazareth business, things are astir. Do you look forward to a day again when the gospel in the earth has stirred the masses again? It's not over. We often think it's over. I remember, I won't call his name, but I can remember a pastor in Dallas told me once, he says, the days of great crowds and great glory in the church are over. We're just going to have to see fit to make do. And I thought to myself, that's so sad. There are days in the life of the church, and it always has been so, and why we would think it would change is beyond me, but the crowds were stirred. And here's a fellow in that crowd, a fellow named Bartimaeus. By the way, which is just Aramaic, means bar, like son of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. And Mark goes ahead and tells us the meaning. There was a beggar there among the crowds, a blind beggar. His name was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Some things just needed explanation. Son of Timaeus, son of Timaeus. I'm of the opinion Bartimaeus became famous in Palestine in his day. He was a man of note. Not so much he did anything at all. He just had something done to him and done for him. that was of note. This is the last, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, the last healing in Mark's gospel. But that's neither here nor there. Great, God had done something great for him, and he was famous. Old Bartimaeus, you could almost see Peter, the Apostle Peter, preaching about Bartimaeus. This is somebody that they grew to know, and had, he had a name of note. Did you know all of us in this room would be famous if it was only known what Christ has done for us? Every single one of us. Oh, the story would be told maybe differently. It may give an account of how we were reared or weren't reared. Maybe we were raised up in a, you know, like wild animals. I don't know. But the point is, if the story were told about each one of us, it would be a marvelous story. It would be a wonderful story. Each one of us. Christ comes, Christ touches, Christ brings, ennobles that person's life. And here's a guy that is a beggar. Now, there's only probably, I think maybe, there's not very many people in this room that knows about beggars. I know one of them does, one who does. I've only had a slight contact with beggars. But what you generally do is you despise them or try your best to even ignore them if they're all about. Especially a roadside beggar. He's an outsider. He's just someone that you try to ignore. And so here's old blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting there on the side of the road, and the crowds are going by. And when he heard that, verse 47, that Jesus of Nazareth was going by, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Matthew's gospel says, "Lord, have mercy, Son of David." And he just adds just a little bit more. "Lord, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy." I like the son of David. This is the one upon whom all Israelites were supposed to set their hope, that there was a man coming, he would be the son of David, and all of Israel's hopes and dreams were going to rest on a man born of David. Everything. Isn't there a Christmas hymn kind of reads, goes something like that? "All of our hopes and dreams rest on you tonight." How's that? Yeah, a little town of Bethlehem. It's a good town. But all of the hopes and dreams of Israel would rest one day upon David's son, the Messiah. Son of David. He was saying so much more by hollering out, "Son of David." Some people think he probably didn't mean much by it. And I don't know about that. I don't know why anybody would say things like that. But he didn't mean something by it. He said, "Son of David, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Have you ever been in an Eastern Orthodox church? I have. I was on a little island out in the Aegean Sea, and we went to church one morning, and the man, the Orthodox priest said these exact words, "Eleison hemas kyriai," "Lord, have mercy on us." He repeated it. Now, I don't know much modern Greek. In fact, they could have been speaking Greek as far as I was concerned. I didn't understand it, but I did hear that line, "Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us." It repeated. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." Have mercy I don't know how often you pray this prayer. It's in liturgies, and it just kind of rolls off our mouth. The Orthodox priest would say something, and then they would mouth back, "Lord, have mercy." You've heard this before, haven't you? Tell me if you have. And then he would say something else, and they would say, "Lord, have mercy." But do we really? This is a man that's right on the edge of becoming a gospel legend. And how does he get God's ear? By saying, "Lord, have mercy." We don't have to have a great argument to have Christ stop and turn and look at us. It could be as simple as, "Lord, have mercy." When was the last time you needed mercy? Just flat mercy. What's that? All the time. Amen. But we don't think of it. Somehow we think, well, we're good folks. We're good Baptist folk. You know, we believe in immersion of a believer. And, you know, we have good doctrine. Steve and I have the best doctrine. You know, you never hold a doctrine because you think it's wrong. You hold a doctrine because you think it's right. And I don't hold any doctrines that I think are wrong. And Steve and I almost 99.99% of the time agree. And so we're right. But you see, that isn't how you get God's attention. You don't get God's attention to say you're from a good family or you're smart or you formulate the problems of the universe and you know, you in just exact ways, and that you could just speak so eruditely and so gloriously to the problems of the earth. It doesn't need any of that. All we really need is to get Christ's ear. And all blind Bartimaeus used was, "Lord, have mercy." And the rest of the folks are embarrassed by it. Recently, I've been thinking about the Christians that have embarrassed me before. Have you ever had any Christians embarrass you? I have. Oh my goodness. That guy's handing out tracts to everybody that walks by. He looks slightly crazy. As you cross the other side. Steve, remember those wonderful tracts they had? It was like little comic books. Chick tracts. Do they make them still? Do they? Okay. I used to be kind of embarrassed by them as they formulated gospel teaching in such a lowbrow way. Here is a fellow that is embarrassing the crowd. Be quiet. They tell him. Jesus is right on the edge of looking this man in the eye and doing something glorious for him. And everybody else is saying, "Be quiet." So the next time you feel like the whole world is screaming in your ear, oh, just be quiet. Have a little dignity. Have a little decorum. Jesus stops. And by the way, they tell him to be quiet, and he hollers out all the more. It says it very specifically. He got louder. It's like my grandkids when they come to visit at our house. The parents say, "Now y'all don't yell." And they get louder. And when you should have 6 grandkids in our house. And you could tell them to be quiet. and not run, but they will run faster and louder. And that's what happened with this guy. They say, be quiet, shh. And he gets louder. And one of the most glorious texts in the Bible is this: Jesus stopped. Dead in his tracks. It said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, arise, for he's calling you. And blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, threw his mantle off. Maybe the mantle was full of money. He was a beggar, I don't know. But he just lets it go and runs to Jesus. But Jesus stops. I'm telling you, this happens, and I don't have much here this morning, but I can tell you on count on one hand the times I know for sure when Jesus stopped and I knew he was listening to me. And one of them was when I said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian. I knew he was listening. There was another time in this place when I was saying, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And I knew he had stopped and he was listening. It didn't happen often, and we should always approach these times of faith. It's not a feeling so much as anything, but I tell you, there are times when we have God's ear, and those are glorious times. The life of a Christian, that's, they shine like stars in the night in our memory. Jesus stops. And they tell him to take heart. He's calling you. Man. In the Bible, beautiful. He's calling you. Get up, get up. And he rushes to Christ. I think Peter, the apostle Peter, who probably told this story originally, he could see it. Blind Bartimaeus running before Jesus. And in his sweet, that Jesus says, "What do you want?" And he says, teacher, I want my sight. Here is the teacher of teachers, the philosopher of philosophers, the very wisdom of God, the very power of God, the very mystery of God. And blind Bartimaeus has that man's ear. And he says, I want to see. And it says in Matthew's gospel, it says, and Jesus took pity on him. And touched him. This is verse 34 of Matthew chapter 20. And Jesus took pity and touched him. That's in Matthew's gospel. You know, we're back to the word, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Have pity. I have a, oh, here it is. I'm glad I brought it. I have a little mechanical pencil here that it has a little eraser left in it. But I use the eraser a lot because I make a lot of mistakes. You know, I write in my Bible and I think, no, that isn't very good. And I erase it and rub it down. We ought to erase anything that clouds over the idea that Jesus really is ultimately having pity on us. We don't earn anything. It's just we should just if something gets in the way, and well, maybe I'm good, or I don't know what could get in the way, but the Lord has pity on us. And the Lord had pity on this fellow and touched him. And immediately his sight was restored. You know, periodically God does things, and you could count them, when it seemed like God, a moment before, was not there, and all of a moment he is there, and it's a sudden act of God. You know that sometimes the way people's salvation experience are all different, but nevertheless, there have been times in your life you knew you were dealing with God and he did something suddenly, immediately. There was a point one and point two, and the difference between those places was that Jesus had acted. Jesus had done something. And you, when you've been in a situation like that, you look back and you say, Lord, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And it's sudden, it's immediate. And down through the ages, Christ has repeated this in men and women's lives. Immediately, he acts. The effect is sure. The effect is you cannot doubt it. I know people that have had... My grandfather says, I told the Lord, he says, I didn't want to smoke any of these cigarettes anymore. His name was Otho Beck. And he said, and it was as instantaneous. He says it was a miracle. I didn't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. In fact, I didn't like cigarettes anymore. Now, he doesn't always do that with cigarette smokers. My mother quit smoking, and she went to her deathbed wanting to smoke a cigarette. I said, Mom, those things must be powerful. And she said, oh, they are. They're wonderful. Speaking of cigarettes, she was hooked. But she... stop smoking. But the point was, sometimes in our lives, God does things that are so sure and so instantaneous that it may not be apparent to anybody else, but we know we have dealt with God. I'm driving to a point here in a minute. It wasn't any gradual healing at this point. He sees... he comes trembling up to Jesus, and Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. Christ has looked upon this man with pity, and he sees this man come to him in faith, and he's healed. Now, what is blind Bartimaeus? If you can't get this, you don't get anything out of this. A blind preacher could get this one. Mark chapter 10, it says, and immediately he received his sight. And the next word is the part that'll preach. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. I can't do anything for any of you. I have no wisdom I don't have anything. But I do know. You follow Jesus and you'll be all right. I can't follow him for you. You can't follow him for me. I can't say, well, I'm going to keep an eye on Tom and maybe I'll be okay. That's not good enough, is it, Tom? I need to seek Christ on my own and follow him the best I can. It says it followed him on the way or on the road. You know, the gospel accounts, Acts chapter 24, verse 14 and verse 22, and then again in 19, verse 9. It speaks of Christianity as the way. I like that. Christianity is a way. And for you and I, it usually begins with a very specific moment when we say, Lord, have mercy on me. It may end with that as well. Mark's gospel ends it all with, and the people saw it, and they gave praise to God. How would you like your life at the end of it all? Someone could say, well, the Lord was with that guy. Praise the Lord. The Lord helped him. I think about the end of my life often. I live across the street from a cemetery. And a lot of people end up there. But wouldn't it just be glorious that because of what Christ had done in your life, just like old Bartimaeus, people said, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We saw something in that guy. God did something in him. If just that little bit will come of our lives, that'll be a wonderful thing. Okay, we'll close with that. Lord, we just ask you that this morning, Lord Jesus, we're beggars. We have nothing to offer you except maybe some unseemly hollering. But we say to you, Lord, Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David, Lord, have mercy. Father, we just pray that you'd have mercy on our lives and make us... do something with us for your glory and your praise. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Father, we ask the blessing on Steve as he comes in a few minutes to preach. Father, we pray you'd give it to him, words. Well, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.